Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Of course, is in our blood around here. Florida's history began right here. It was 11 sailboats entering this bay in 1559. And through 466 years, Pensacola's lifeblood has been tied to this body of water. In 1784, we built our first commercial dock. A Navy Yard was constructed in 1826. In the early 1900s, 16 wharves lined the city's coastline, building community wealth through the timber trade. And it hasn't all been easy. Dock sustained fires, our port has withstood and thrived through waves of environmental and economic change. But today is a monumental new chapter in Pensacola's maritime history. Today we celebrate the Center for Maritime Excellence, a 56,000 square foot hub of innovation in the new permanent home of American magic.
I love that way of contextualizing this development, that this is not just a thing happening in a place somewhere. This is a massive beginning of a maritime sailing future that is in continuing the long history of, you know, the very first thing that happened in Pensacola was sailing, you know, when DeLuna arrives. And throughout that history, and it's kind of funny, they had mentioned Galvez coming, you know, Collier Merrill had joked around, it talked about Galvez coming, and then the guy from England who represents Sail GP, Andy Thompson, he's like, yeah, we see that incident a little differently. You know, so but okay, that, fair enough. That's funny. So yeah, very good event yesterday. American Magic coming and having the grand opening of their facility, the Center for Maritime Excellence and Innovation, and understanding the scope of this project. Again, I'll confess, I don't think I understood it. I think I thought of, you know, the American Magic sailing team. They go and they participate in the America's Cup, and they're very advanced, and that's wonderful, and they're going to be housed here. End of story. Well, no, there's a lot more to it, because the concept is that this center will take all of the stuff that they do in order to make that ship and use it effectively, make that boat and use it effectively, and then apply those things to anywhere they can apply it to. Tyson Lamond, who's the COO of American Magic.
American Magic Services, as we sit here today, was found to basically use the skill sets of the team members in the commercial market. In 2025, it was focused on aerospace manufacturing, marine composite repairs, and project management, all from a temporary facility at the Port of Pensacola. As we look forward to 2026, we're excited about the opportunities in the composite manufacturing and maritime technologies sectors. We've just signed a long-term aerospace contract and will remain connected to the maritime industry while exploring how we can bring our technology into the defense space. In 2026, we will also offer design services to the commercial marketplace. Another great way to introduce our cutting-edge America's Cup technology that we have developed over the last 8 years, thanks to Hap, Doug, and Roger.
So top-of-the-line engineers, top-of-the-line composite manufacturing, processes, system controls, all of that. Like, just everything you need to do to make that boat, that can be applied to aerospace applications, to defense applications, to anybody in the general sector that might find a use for that, and they're coming here. This is, you know, another IHMC. This is the possibility of something that could, and I say could, but could grow into being what might eventually be like a Raytheon or, Northrop Grumman or any of the huge defense contractors that, you know, start with excellence and then apply it in other fields. And then, again, that's all possible. What we know now is it's 150 high-paying jobs, 20 port jobs, 150 with American Magic per se, and then basically becoming this international hub for sailing and manufacturing innovation.
When this project came to life, I said that we were going to plant our flag in Pensacola as one of the preeminent sailing destinations in the world. That planting happens today. We aren't just opening a building. We are officially establishing the Port of Pensacola as a global epicenter for maritime technology, high-tech manufacturing, and high-wage job creation.
And by the way, in case you didn't realize it, and I don't think I had, Jay Collins, who's Lieutenant Governor of Florida, was there yesterday.
At the same time, think about where we are. Florida is the largest shipbuilding state in the United States. We build more ships here than anybody else. And y'all, I think we're just getting started from what we see right here.
And he wanted to thank them, of course, for choosing Pensacola, for choosing Florida. Our 23 million people say thank you.
Right here in the great state of Florida. Our course is set. The talent's here, and the future is being built starting today. Because never forget, when Florida leads, America wins. God bless.
And then the other slice of what happened yesterday is that it wasn't just the American Magic facility. It's the announcement that Sail GP, these 50-foot catamarans that race on foils, like think of a catamaran, which, you know, two hulls and a sailboat, and then four foils operating at both ends of each pontoon, lifting it up out of the water so that it can race at, you know, 60 miles an hour. It's Formula One racing on the water, and their training facility is going to be here. So they're going to bring their 13, eventually 14 teams from around the world that race and compete in these events all over the globe are going to come train here and learn how to do their kind of NASCAR. I mean, it's NASCAR because it's basically a fixed configuration for the ship, for the boat. And then they're going to go around the world and race, and it's amazing. So that's another thing that we added yesterday, which we didn't even expect to have happen. We'll come back to this in a second, because big day for Pensacola. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right, still dealing with the accident that happened on East Nine Mile Road and Kim Strand Road. The roadway is still blocked at that intersection, so definitely plan an alternate route. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. 90-98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So the announcement for the 5-year deal, Andy Thompson with Sail GP.
Finally, I'd like to thank you again to the American Magic team. Thank you to the Pensacola community, the state of Florida, for your partnership and belief in the vision of this sport. We look forward to driving our shared vision of making sailing a major sport in the U.S. and around the world. And this is just the start. Thank you very much.
And, you know, they really are blown away by the reception they've got from Pensacola, that we've embraced them, that they love being here. You know, Tyson Lamond from American Magic, I'm so sorry, John. Did I take a traffic break? I feel really dumb. Okay, I'm just making sure. My brain's so much on this and trying to get all the stuff in. That Pensacola, a lot of places that they go, they feel like they're trying to get something out of them, and they feel like Pensacola has been willing to, what can we offer you? What can we do for you?
Pensacola, wow. Since the first day we arrived in Pensacola and Tom Pace took us on a harbor tour to show us this amazing base, to former Mayor Ashton Hayward letting us set up at the port as snowbirds, this whole community has been so welcoming to our team.
And even Doug DeVos, of course, from the Amway empire and, you know, the Orlando Magic and American Magic, and putting what Collier Merrill mentioned might be as much as $100 million into this project. Like, hey, let's go race big boats, you know. But he was here yesterday. I got a chance to meet him. Amazing, you know, family and fantastic person. He even kind of joked around about the whole issue of how the sailors who compete fit in with the local community.
When we were here last spring for a regatta, all the sailors, DC hosted an event, all the sailors had never been welcomed in a city, in a community, like have been welcomed here.
You did that.
Normally, they want to kind of get the sailors out. You kind of started with the word Collier, started with a joke of drunken sailors, and maybe that's a little bit of it. Maybe true. But the welcome, the genuineness that was shown is really outstanding. You should be very proud of your community and how you come together around events like this and how you come around each other.
Absolutely. Again, that's a you do this. You make that culture possible. Terry Hutchinson is the president of American Magic. I talked with him at length about what this means and answered, kind of dispelled some of the myths around American Magic and, for example, the canceling of the participation in the America's Cup this year.
So, Terry, this is the culmination of a huge process to bring you guys finally, fully, completely here, right?
Yes, it is. I mean, it's, as discussed, it started in the fall of 2017. And so to be standing here, where are we, January of 26?
Yeah.
I mean, we've crossed some bridges, and it's awesome to see the quality of this facility, the quality of the build. You know, it needs to be a high level, and the execution that's taken place here is exactly that, and the products and the experiences that we expect to put out of here will match the quality of this facility.
I think a lot of folks are very eager to hear about the other things that are going on, connections with PSC, connections with UWF.
Yeah.
opportunities for internships, manufacturing. I know, you know, we heard about things like aerospace applications and defense applications and, you know, all of the things that you can manufacture. If you can manufacture composites, you can manufacture composites, right?
That's, I think you touch on a really good point. I mean, our strategy is to build out of the community and to build some of these young minds, and these universities provide great platforms, great engineering platforms, that you come in and you bring in the interns and you develop them into teammates. And we have some experienced teammates that are a bit on the backside of their careers, and so you find this really, really good blend of younger, smarter, balanced with practical know-how in an engineering world.
Yeah.
So that's one application, but that expands across, you know, not only the design but the manufacturing. And as you talk about the quality of the manufacturing for aerospace or for defense, it's the same type of quality that we're used to with manufacturing our America's Cup boats. And so really for us, that's not a step out of the norm. That's just taking what we've learned and applying it to a different, you know, a different race.
It's a different shape product in the end, but it's the same process to produce
that
product.
That's exactly right. So,
you know, one of the things I know a lot of people heard about the news with the America's Cup and the non-participation, and I think there's a common misperception people have that all American Magic is an America's Cup competition team. And can you just maybe explain how that's not the case and what American Magic as a team does quite apart from the America's Cup?
Yeah, so it's a great question, so thank you for that. I mean, the evolution, so we've talked a little bit about the design and the manufacturing. From the sporting side, the sailing side, you know, we're partnering with the America One Foundation, which is an Olympic program where they have Project Podium, which is their designated athletes that they're aspiring to go to the Olympics, that we support that process. Then there's the foiling pipeline, which are these younger sailors. In 3 months' time, we're going to have the WASP Worlds here in Pensacola Bay.
Okay. How big of a boat is that?
It's 14 feet.
Okay.
But there's going to be about 160 of them.
Oh, wow. All right.
But that foiling pipeline program brings these younger sailors to a regatta, to an event like the WASP Worlds.
That's the feeder. So, that's the junior football kind of, you know, Pop Warner kind of thing. Okay.
And so really, you're identifying areas that you can have meaningful support inside the sport to develop anything from a SailGP sailor to an Olympic athlete to the up-and-coming youth sailor that's going to be a rising star in a decade.
Right. And I think the last thing I was going to ask you is, we heard it from all the speakers, and it's something that in Pensacola, I think sometimes we almost get so used to hearing it that we take it for granted, but can you just maybe quantify the value of Pensacola, the people, the reception, the enthusiasm, the small southern town kind of feel, what that's meant to the decisions and to the team coming here?
That is the decision. I mean, it is all about people. And so the way the community opened their arms to American Magic 7 years ago, you know, the way Tom Pace and Talbot Wilson took me around the bay and showed me Pensacola Bay, we didn't know each other, but the way they opened themselves up to introduce us to Pensacola and the bay, the community just followed. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't something that was ever talked about. It was a very genuine and organic evolution.
Yeah.
But that's Pensacola. So, I mean, I live right down the street from here now.
That's great.
And what you see is that's what you see. That's who you are. And so it's a humbling experience because there's such genuine kindness.
Well, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations on finally having the facility, and best of luck in all the things you guys do.
Thank you. Thanks.
And by the way, that was my experience in Pensacola too. You know, I came here from you know, Medford, Oregon, and before that, Arizona in the Midwest, and I didn't know anything about Pensacola. I come here and I'm an outsider. I'm a northerner. I'm a Yankee, and I come here and it's like the most friendly, welcoming, encouraging thing I've ever experienced. It's amazing. You know, I think I've told this story before, but I did an interview at a place, Birmingham maybe, did an interview, and they said, how are you going to overcome the people are not going to like you being from the North? I'm like, it'll be okay. And I'm so glad I didn't get that job because it's different. Here is different. We're different. We're fantastic. So every once in a while, we need to remind ourselves how awesome we are. And we really are pretty awesome here. You are pretty awesome here. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on East Nine Mile Road and Kim Strand Road. The roadway is blocked. So if you are trying to get southbound down to Nine Mile Road, it's a major delay, maybe a 30, 45-minute delay in that area. So just be advised. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing our typical construction delays this morning. And that's all. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Now, somebody says, well, I'm sure they're happy they got a bunch of money. Well, they didn't get a bunch of money. The facility got a bunch of money from Triumph, that the city now owns that facility. And Triumph is designed to shovel the $1.5 billion dollars from the settlement from the BP oil spill into diversifying our economy and creating jobs, which is, this is diversifying the economy and creating jobs. And what's your problem? Like, come on, man. Come on, man. All right. 437-1620. Always feel free. And even to disagree with me, it's fine. I may answer you, but, you know, like that. So that sometimes happens as well. Hey, if you need a new roof or you need to repair your roof, Quality Roofing Solutions, they'll take care of you. They've been here since 2006, so 20 years now. Brian Ward and his company have been putting in 10,000 roofs. 10,000. They've got a 4.9 rating on Google, which is amazing. They're invested in local community, art gateway, local youth sports, financial literacy education. But when it comes to doing their business, they have a, you know, they have a lifetime guarantee on their roofs. They understand that you are not an expert in the industry, so they will talk to you like you are, you know, an ordinary person and can learn, but don't always have to know everything. And they're not going to look down on you for that. They understand that. They provide a documentary record of everything they do before, during, and after. So you have photos of everything in case there's ever a claim or just for whatever reason. And start on the cloud. So even if there's an issue that, you know, it's not like if your house gets destroyed, you lost your records. They take care of that for you. Just, it's all kinds of little things like that that make Quality Roofing Solutions so good. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What should you look for in a church? Allow me to give you three things. Look for a church that exalts the Savior, a church that equips the saints, and a church that evangelizes the sinner. And by exalt the Savior, I mean a church where Christ is not just prominent, but where he's preeminent in the singing and preaching. And by equip the saints, I'm describing a place where Christians are learning the Bible and are growing in their personal walk with God. By evangelizing the sinner, I'm describing a church where the congregation is together focused on giving the good news of the gospel to the community around them. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get involved in a church with these three ingredients, and you'll find yourself in a healthy church.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Silly old bear.
Good morning, 729 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Got to pay off a little bit. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. Interrupting my Van Halen. Go ahead, David. Tell us what's going on.
I know. I'm the worst. I'm sorry about that. So tensions are high in Minneapolis today after the ICE agent shot and killed a woman yesterday. ICE says that, that federal officials say that the woman was trying to run over the agents, and the victim was identified as 37-year-old Renee Good. Neighbors, bystanders, and reporters said she appeared to be driving away from the scene. The video... you kind of got to take your own judgment on the video, I guess. It appears
yeah,
to show,
she was in the yeah. road where she shouldn't have been. Somebody was outside videoing, trying to make a thing of it. They came up and tried to open the door. She backed up, I think she was trying to drive away, but in the process, she starts aft towards the ICE agent, and she actually clips him from another video angle. You can see it, and he shot and killed her, and he had had an incident in last summer where somebody tried to use a car against him, too. It's a horrible outcome. Everybody could have, you know, she could have done a whole lot better. It's just, it's a terrible outcome.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Protests and anger after an ICE agent fires, killing 37-year-old Renee Good. New York Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
At the end of the day, what we saw today is a murder. And murders in cold blood need to be prosecuted.
DHS Secretary Kristi Noem.
The ICE officer, fearing for his life and the other officers around him and the safety of the public, fired defensive shots.
White House correspondent Aisha Hosni.
The president, we know, has watched at least one of these videos. And in an interview with the New York Times, he says this, quote, I want to see nobody get shot. I want to see nobody screaming and trying to run over policemen either. That was a vicious situation that took place.
A manhunt underway in Salt Lake City, Utah, after two were killed, at least six others wounded in a shooting at a funeral outside a Mormon church. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got 65 degrees with cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Full forecast on the way with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, big news out of the Port of Pensacola yesterday, the unveiling of the American Magic's new $20.8 million high-performance center. The 56,000-square-foot facility features racing yachts. They've got repair rooms, training space, of course, direct access to the bay. Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins was there yesterday highlighting Florida's maritime leadership. He says Florida builds more ships than anywhere else in the nation. The American Magic Performance Center will support training, watercraft development, manufacturing, and ocean science research. And, of course, also big news yesterday, they announced a partnership with SailGP, which features 13 teams which compete globally. They'll also be using that facility as their home base for about the next 5 years. Midway Water System is asking a Santa Rosa County judge for a new trial in the case where the utility was held responsible for raw sewage entering home water systems in Gulf Breeze. Midway's lawyers cite alleged juror misconduct, claiming the forewoman knew a plaintiff but didn't disclose that during jury selection, obtained outside legal information and shared it with jurors, and heard private judge-attorney conversations. They also allege she pressured jurors into reaching a verdict by November 20th. The jury awarded $37.49 million in damages back in November, with Midway responsible for $22.1 million. A hearing is scheduled January 23rd. 10 people have been charged with solicitation of prostitution after an anti-human trafficking operation at a hotel in Daphne on Tuesday. Police there partnered with Spanish Fort, Fairhope, and Orange Beach police departments. Suspects included one man from Pensacola and nine men from around the Baldwin County area. The operation resulted in the arrests of individuals all the way from 25 to 77 years old. All 10 suspects face solicitation of prostitution charges. Well, the University of West Florida is expected today to possibly name interim president Manny Diaz Jr. as their new president. The former state education commissioner will have a base salary of $674,000 with total compensation package of close to $1 million. The state board of governors does have to approve that hire before it becomes official. Millions of dollars in infrastructure projects are underway in Century. The town's consulting engineer recently updated the town council and some of their big initiatives. Some of the projects include $8.8 million in wastewater treatment plant improvements, which are 90% grant funded. About $1.3 million in water meter and service replacements, which are grant-funded. The Freedom Road Bridge replacement, about $1.3 million project there, also fully grant-funded, as well as wastewater lift station rehabilitation and wastewater treatment improvements and a new well. Escambia County Attorney Allison Rogers is retiring after about two decades of service. Rogers served as an assistant county attorney from 1999 until 2003 before becoming the deputy county attorney in 2003 and county attorney in February 2008. She submitted a one-year retirement notification this week. Her final day is set for January 4th of 2027. Rogers says she'll be available throughout the year to help with that transition. 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got her traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services Now. Call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still working that accident that happened on Nine Mile Road and Kim Strand Road. The roadway is still blocked going southbound to Nine Mile Road. So just be aware of that. I-10, let's see here, is backed up all the way from Pine Forest through Highway 29 during our construction congestion delays. And also Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola. Expect about a 10-minute delay. Oh, a dense fog advisory also in effect till 9 a.m. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are under a dense fog advisory this morning. Fog should burn off as you go into the late morning with a small chance of a isolated sprinkle. Otherwise, cloudy skies, high today near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. We're still looking at a small chance of rain for that Friday. 20% chance of rain, high near 74. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Heading into Saturday, 80% chance of those showers moving through, especially as we head into the afternoon and evening, high near 72. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Stick active, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 65 degrees. It is a cloudy start to our day here. Your next newscast at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Challenger Gray and Christmas reports that planned job cuts totaled just over 35,000 for December, which is a 50% slide from November and an 8% decrease from the same period a year ago. And still, for the full year, employers announced more than 1.2 million job cuts total. JPMorgan Chase said it has reached a deal to take over the Apple credit card from its original issuer, Goldman Sachs. JPMorgan said that the deal will take about 24 months to close and that it will book a $2.2 billion provision for credit losses when it reports fourth quarter 2025 earnings next week. OpenAI has announced a new experience called ChatGPT Help that will allow users to securely connect their medical records and wellness apps to the chatbot. OpenAI said ChatGPT Health is not intended for diagnosis and treatment, and it's not supposed to replace medical care. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 466. That's your money now.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Pennair Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts and 70 times more than annual checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at pennair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA. Pennair's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. As you heard John mention, we do have a dense fog advisory again today until 9 a.m. And, you know, honestly, we looked out the window and it looked pretty good there for a minute. And then all of a sudden, it's like it's San Francisco. It's really rough out there. So, you know.
Oh, be careful with that one.
Well, what? No, I mean San Francisco's real foggy. That's all.
Oh, okay.
What do you think I meant?
I didn't know. So I was just saying, be careful.
You know, lights on, not high beams, hazards if it's really bad, and you know that is legal in Florida. And you know, now it wasn't for a long time, so I know that's a habit you got to overcome. But anyway, just be careful. You know, allow a little extra time; it'll be all right. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Joins us every Thursday at this time. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we had a resolution in the attacks on those two elderly gentlemen in the parking garage downtown from, what, 2 weeks ago or so?
Yeah, back in December, I believe it was December the 8th. And I got to credit, this is too, some good detective work on this that solved it. And they had video to put the icing on the cake to make sure they had the right person. But he was arrested and charged accordingly. And this was a senseless crime. These two gentlemen had, I mean, they did absolutely nothing wrong. And we're beaten pretty bad by this guy. So fortunately, they're going to be okay, and he is behind bars where he belongs.
And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is drunk guy leaning up against somebody's car, got told to get off, and that's what led to it all. And then the friend saw the bad thing happening and tried to thwart, intervene, and got hit too, right? Like, that's basically what happened. It's just ordinary citizens doing ordinary things.
Yeah, this gentleman in his 70s was walking to his vehicle in the parking garage and noticed a man leaning up against it. He didn't know if there was someone else in there, and the man was a lookout. He didn't know if the man was trying to get in. He didn't know anything. So he just walked up to him and said, "Hey, that's my car, you know, if you don't mind," and it went downhill from there. Mm-hmm. The suspect took exception to being questioned and pushed the gentleman a couple of times until he fell on the sidewalk and hit his head. The second a man in his 70s who was a friend of the first one saw what was happening, got on the phone to 911. The suspect left the parking garage. The second man followed him, and the suspect turned around and started hitting him in the face as well with his closed fist.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we caught him. That's the one good thing, so good police work on that. He had a pretty significant crash on Three Mile Bridge that involved some racing.
Yeah, this was Monday night. Officers responded to the Gregory Street exit from the bridge for a crash with injuries. One vehicle, the driver had to be taken from the vehicle, had to be rescued from the vehicle, and the second vehicle caught fire. But both drivers sustained non-life-threatening injuries. So prior to that incident, the Gulf Breeze Police Department observed the two involved vehicles along with a third motorcycle traveling at a high rate of speed across the bridge, and I believe one of them was clocked at 133 miles an hour. So Gulf Breeze is going to pursue that part of it, I'm sure, with super speeder warrants or citations.
133 miles an hour? My God. Wow. Okay. So, not to point the obvious, but I don't think you catch them until they have to slow down. You know, that's ridiculously fast and dangerous. Okay. We also had an incident at the Family Dollar on Cervantes. Is that right?
Yeah, that was Tuesday night, I believe, or over early Wednesday morning. Someone cut the power to the business. They sawed their way into the front door or through the front door, and then they got to the safe, and they were able to use a saw or some other power to get into it, which is indicates to us that this was not just a normal burglary. These were professionals that knew what they were doing. And we've seen this sort of thing before. People will come in from out of town, hit a store or two, and then be gone. So sometimes they're very difficult crimes to solve. And then other times they are already on the radar of some other department, and we can attach them to that case. But at this point, it's still under investigation.
So it's a kind of a low-level crime in the grand scheme of things compared to, you know, murder, kidnapping, that kind of stuff. So I would imagine it's a little bit less high-profile, fewer resources for these sort of interstate, if it is an interstate kind of activity. But how do you deal with that if you think that's what it might be? Is there much of a, I don't know, is there much of a resource for finding information out about similar crimes in other places?
Yeah, law enforcement agencies all over the country, that we talk to each other. And you know, with the internet, it's not a difficult thing to do. We post crimes and different motives or ways that they pulled this off. the way they got in, what they did before they got in, what they went after, things like that. And with these cases have things in common, then they are flagged together and sometimes investigated together to see if they're connected.
Okay. All right. So it is the kind of thing that you can work on together. We're talking to Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with that earlier wreck that happened on Kim Strand and 9 Mile Road. Traffic is now back flowing, but it's definitely a 15-minute delay.
Back flowing? Flowing backwards?
No.
It's return to flowing.
Oh, okay.
No, I just heard it wrong because you know I do.
I know you do. Highway 90 southbound. There's too much commotion going on out there.
I know. We got Leadership Pensacola classes here, and they're going to be in and out of the studio, too.
Very distracting. Okay, so Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, 20-minute delay there. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect a 10-minute delay. I'm John Bickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD. Mike, we had an incident take place in Alabama that in Mobile that's just, it's the worst kind of thing you can imagine from a police perspective. You had this couple, Justin Senya and Ariel Perot. They basically lured cops into their property and then opened fire on him and shot more than 50 times. One of those officers, Lieutenant Lorenzo Matthews, was struck in his abdomen and rushed to University Hospital. Two other police officers crashed while they were getting to the scene. Of course, responding to these things is a very difficult thing. Motive here is a mystery. You know, why did they do this? They had no criminal record. They had no mental illness or drug abuse, but they decided that they were going to try to kill some cops. I know you guys know about this. I know you're, you know, keeping him in your prayers, but, you know, you tell me, how do you comment? How do you handle stuff like this? Always the fear that an ordinary call is, in fact, something entirely different.
Well, unfortunately, we've seen this before, and there's not a lot we can do. Every call that we go on, we use caution because we never know what could happen. That's why you always see two officers on a traffic stop. People wonder, why did they have two officers when I just ran a stop sign? And that's why we don't know what to expect. And it's even worse when you're going to someone's home. They know. They have a plan. They know what they're going to do. They know that the police are coming. So they are far ahead of us in the intelligence part of it. They know exactly what's going on, and we don't. So we respond, and we try our best to be careful. And then once things go bad, then we have to deal with it. But unfortunately, this is something that we've seen before.
Yeah, it really is unfortunate. Switching gears just a little bit, yesterday we had our frivolous conversation, and in the topic we were talking about, you know, do you change in your car? And apparently everybody who's an ordinary human does, but Meg and John do not. but then John asked a question, which I thought was a good question. I didn't know the answer to the question. You know, if in fact you change in your car, this is inside your personal vehicle, parked presumably, if you change entirely, as in if you're naked inside your car, it's not necessarily the more common thing, but if it is that indecent exposure? What is the law on something like that? Neither of us knew, and so I figured I'd ask you.
Well, it could be. If it depends on who sees. If somebody walks up, a mother with a child or walking through a parking lot and look in the window and see something like that, then charges could be coming for that. But if someone is making an attempt, they're changing under a blanket or something like that, then probably not. So every situation will have to be looked at in its entirety to see if charges are warranted in that situation. But just because you're in your car doesn't mean that you can do anything you want as far as taking clothes off and changing clothes and things like that. It's just it's a situation we would have to look at all the elements of what happened.
Okay, so you could catch a public indecency. You could catch a lewd and lascivious. There's a lot of things that could happen. Or it could be something where the police officer is like, yeah, this is no big deal. But a lot of it's going to depend on the event, the circumstances, who saw, and all that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair to say. I mean, we've had it before where people were obviously doing that on purpose, and the first thing they're going to say is that they were just changing clothes. And, you know, we've heard that before. But somebody legitimately do it, you can tell the difference when you get there and you look at all the facts.
Look. That woman and I were just changing clothes for like 30 minutes. That's all that was.
Well, yeah, most of the time they're saying they were just talking, but whatever.
Very, very involved talking. All right, fair enough. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. You know Mayor Reeves, I mean, he put a little shade on me yesterday because I prefaced a little bit of a screwball-y question with him by saying it's a little bit. And he said, no, Andrew, you don't need to say that. They all are. I thought that
I heard that. That was a good answer.
Actually, speaking of that, I do have a quick question because I had proposed to him, what about the prospect of making Palafox an open container zone, maybe at night? You know, now that it's a pedestrian-only zone for the next several months, would there be a value in that and having events, bringing people downtown, you know, more partying, okay, which I know can create problems for you, but it also creates business for the bars and the restaurants and so forth. Is that something that you guys have thought about, considered? Does it create more problems when we have, like, the gallery night and there's lots of people and open containers allowed?
No, usually not, and that's something, again, we're going to go with the flow. If the ordinance changes or rules change, then we're going to go with that. That's what we do. We don't make the rules. We don't make the ordinances or the laws, but we'll go with it. But historically, the open container itself isn't an issue. I mean, if somebody's going to drink and turn into somebody that's not as smart as they should be, they make themselves known very quickly, and then we deal with it. But most of the time, people have the open container out there. They're not causing any issues during gallery night and other events, and it's just something that is not a problem for us.
Fair enough. Oh, you know what? You and I usually talk with my guests before we come on the air, and we kind of talk about what we're going to talk about. And I did not ask you if you had an opinion about this, so feel free to completely pass on the question. But I don't know if you watched the ICE video in Minneapolis with the woman and the ICE agent. If you had an opinion, saw anything that you wanted to point out or observe, if not, totally fine. But if you wanted to comment, I want to give you a chance to.
Yeah, I'm not gonna Monday morning quarterback another agency. That's something that I just don't do professionally. Do everybody has their own opinions, and I keep mine off the air and to myself. But officers, when they feel like that their life is in danger or someone else's, then they have the right to defend themselves, and that's as far as I probably need to take that.
Fair enough. And certainly, if you're being given instructions by a law enforcement officer, if you obey first, a lot fewer bad things happen long term, right?
Yeah, we can pretty much guarantee 100% if everybody has done exactly what they're told by law enforcement, nobody will ever get hurt 100% of the time. That's pretty much a guarantee.
Last thing, we always like to talk about a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for us today?
Yeah, and it's a did you know that all PPD officers that are in uniform, and this goes for a lot of probably most law enforcement agencies, they are required to carry at least two less lethal weapons. In other words, they don't just have the gun, their sidearm on. So most of them will have a can of pepper spray and a taser, or a taser and a collapsible baton, or a pepper spray and a collapsible baton and no taser. So they have to have two ways of using a force that's less lethal, so they don't just have their firearm to rely on.
But I would assume most of them have probably all three, don't they? And maybe even other things?
Yeah, they can have all three.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes things get out of control very quickly, and officers have to go straight to their firearm. But most of the time, they'll use a less lethal weapon, and things are settled down at that point.
But to this point, PPD does not standard issue thing. They don't no boomerang though, right? You don't use the boomerang.
I guess not, because I'm not sure what that is.
No, I mean, like, they use in Australia, you know, to catch the joeys or whatever. I mean,
no. So, yeah, I mean, we have to have backups for backups, because, you know, if you use pepper spray on somebody that's got a lot of narcotics in them, you know, they'll take that can of pepper spray and put it on their chili and enjoy it. I mean, there's some things that are not going to be effective and other things that will be. So
put it on their chili.
We have to be ready for everything and offer you a bite. I mean, they just sometimes that stuff doesn't work, and there's been times when the taser just doesn't work because of drugs that people are on. So you have to be able to go to something else very quickly.
I just want to point out that I asked Mike the most off the wall question you could imagine, and he's just right back on track. Total professional. Well done, Mike. Way to handle my my screwball questions. I appreciate you, brother.
Well, I've been talking to you long enough that I'm pretty much ready for anything.
I love that.
Try to be anyway.
Put it on your chili. Now you got me thinking about chili and pepper spray enhancements. All right. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, sir, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, sir.
Let's see. For
enhancements?
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, some of the best questions come from these just... Your brain is neurodivergent, son. And sometimes they're not the best question, and I can't stop myself from asking it anyway. You just, It's like in creative thinking, you know, the rule in creative thinking is you cannot mix creative and critical thinking. You cannot be evaluating while you're generating. And sometimes in the generating phase, you generate the most bizarre things. The point of the generative portion of creative thinking is to be generative and to come up with, well, what if we used elephants? You know, that kind of thing. You know, is that possible? What if it's a five-legged elephant? You know, like, and okay, good idea. Interesting. Let's build on that. And then you go back and you look at it like, elephants, really? The problem is, as a talk show host, I kind of have to do both at the same time, which is not the ideal. And every once in a while, a five-legged elephant question gets in there. 7:55 on News
Boomerang. I still like the boomerang, though. Hey, if the guy keeps running, use the boomerang.
I've just seen Mad Max too many times, Road Warrior too many times. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're back to accident-free right now. But if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a seven-minute delay. And also Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, about a 12-minute delay. And still dealing with Highway 29 southbound. The wreck is out of the way, but expect slowdowns as you approach 9 Mile Road. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, thanks so much, John. If you need work done on plumbing, air conditioning, heating, electrical, anything like that, Peden can take care of you all across the Gulf Coast. You know, they've been around since 1969. It started just doing air conditioning, expanded, of course, pretty quickly to heating, eventually to plumbing, to electrical, to generators, all of that kind of stuff. They take care of it everywhere from Tallahassee all the way to Mobile. So all along the Gulf Coast, across both time zones, even across both states, even. So they're everywhere. 100% satisfaction guarantee on their work, good quality installers, good quality products that they work with. And now you can beat the annual regulatory price bumps with Peden's New Year Old Stock sale. That means you can take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 air conditioning systems. You know, they want to move them, you want to buy them before they're gone. Call or book online with Peden, PEDEN.com.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Sunday afternoon, the American Red Cross is offering adult and pediatric CPR classes. Upon completion, participants receive a two-year certification meeting national requirements. See redcross.org for more. Each January, the Quayside Art Gallery showcases artists who joined the gallery in the previous year. Check out the local talent all month long at the gallery on Zaragoza Street. See quaysidegallery.com for more info. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ram Man, He-Man, and Castle Grayskull, each sold separately. You have to put the castle together.
I love getting the reaction from both John and PJ of a,
I mean, I wanted one and I got one and I was just like.
When was the last time you thought about your Castle Grayskull, you know?
Well, not in years.
Right, and that's why I love doing those little things just to remind you of movies you loved or TV shows you loved or ads that you remember as a kid or you sing along with or, you know, painful Nextel phone beeps, whatever the case may be. All right, let's go into the newsroom where David Wayne has had to step out, and we've got PJ sitting in for him. PJ, welcome to the show, by the way. What's going on in the news?
Thank you, Andrew. I had my Castle Grayskull until about 3 years ago, and then I finally sold it.
Did you sell it for a pretty good profit?
I did.
Sure you made a good buck on that. Go on.
All right, the Senate will vote today on a resolution that would block President Trump from taking further action in Venezuela without congressional approval. The bipartisan War Powers Resolution only needs a simple majority to pass. Trump could still veto any resolution if it were to pass Congress. The college football playoff semifinals have arrived. Number 6 Ole Miss will be kicking things off today when it battles number 10 Miami in the Fiesta Bowl in Arizona. You can catch that at 6 p.m. on our sister station, ESPN Pensacola.
That's a warm-up game for the actual championship tomorrow night.
Stop it.
Go on, PJ.
Sounds like you have an opinion on that, John.
Boy, I'll take him outside of the woodshed.
All right.
You made PJ snort. News guy's not supposed to snort. Gosh. What is this, the 80s? Go on.
All right, a manhunt is underway in Utah following a shooting that left two people dead and six others injured. Police say a fight broke out in the parking lot of an LDS church in Salt Lake City during a funeral and shots were fired.
All the time.
The names of the victims and possible motive have not been released.
The fighting Mormons. All right. PJ, by the way, is this the first time you've done news for me?
It is.
Nice. Great job.
Thank you.
Well done. Sorry, you have to be here.